and I'd really not thought much about moisture regimes, but there were lots of scientists from around the world that said moisture regimes didn't work. The U.S. soil taxonomy version of soil moisture regimes didn't work well in their countries, and I was accepted the leader of a task group to start investigating soil moisture regimes. And so with a lot of work from my graduate student Edwin Winsler and Zamir Lobohova and Sharon Waltman, who had just developed a Newhall, a conversion of Newhall from a basic program, we began looking at soil moisture regimes because I just have always accepted what the figures and the maps of telling me what moisture regime I'm in. So, but once we started looking at it, we found some very interesting things. The Newhall simulation model is the model used by the Soil Survey to estimate soil moisture regimes. When you don't have data, you have to do simulations. And so this is the accepted version from the NRCS. And it runs on normal monthly normals for precipitation and temperature. So why we estimate the soil temperature regimes, like I said, I started having a look at it because of the development of the Universal Soil Classification System. But originally, the soil moisture regime was used for estimates of potential changes in classification and land use management across time. Moisture regimes were related to the cropping system, and we were also interested in if we do have climate change and increased temperatures and moisture in the future, how would we assess that with relationship to our classification and land use. It's good for looking at these eco-climate boundaries, may have some potential for estimating drought, and like I said, Sharon had developed this new JavaScript for Newhall, so we can look at it now. And if you look at the Thornwaite original 1948 publication, he's created a map of the average annual potential evapotranspiration. But when we look at it now with current data, we can have much finer resolution and we can show the natural boundaries that occur. The Newhall model that we used, it looks at 12 monthly precipitation values, so it's a monthly average. And it also looks at air temperature values. It takes elevation, lat long, and some other configurable parameters. The outputs that you get from the Newhall model are soil moisture regime classification, soil subgroup modifier, temperature regime classification, water balance, summer water balance, estimated potential ET, soil moisture and temperature calendars, and the soil moisture control section. So this is one of the outputs of the Newhall model. You can see the blue is when we have rainfall surplus. Red is the deficit. And this Newhall model is really a PEDON scale model. It hasn't been applied on the landscape. And so Edwin Winsler, my graduate student, developed a way to put the Newhall model on a pixel-by-pixel basis across the United States. And so these model runs, these were 12.3 million pixels, and each pixel had a model run on the Newhall. And so he used, so what this does is shows the gradation in the natural system, we hope. And so instead of having abrupt boundaries with classes, we can show these gradual boundaries, and we potentially can do estimates of the moisture regime. We're not the first to do this. NOAA is beginning to show soil moisture, but they're doing, NOAA, if you look at their website, they're doing more of the soil weather versus these long-term trends in weather as what the Newhall would do. And we do this because it relates more to pedogenesis and our geologic timescales that we think about in soils. So this is another available data set that we used was this PRISM data set, which is a national weather data set that It's on a half arc minute, which is 800 to 900 meter resolution. So this is the input data that we used for the new hall. And one of the first sites we looked at was in Pennsylvania, West Virginia. And this is the area outlined. You can see the output. This is a mean annual water balance. And blue is positive. This is the mean summer water balance, where the darker colors are negative. And you can see up in the this area, we still have some positive water balance during the summer. And we have an area here where we have another positive water balance. And we looked at that area in detail. We looked at the root zone of available water holding capacity, which is part of the input for the new hall. Looked at the average August air temperature, and you can see that the temperature is much lower where it's blue and higher where it's red. This is average August precipitation, much higher in August where it's dark blue. And this is a mean summer water balance, so it's showing that it's positive in this area. The number of days per year the soil is moist greater than 8 degrees. So you can see it's high in that area. Soil is partially dry, and less than 5 degrees, the black is low or zero, and the red. And so what we found is there were some areas within this region that met the criteria for the cryic moisture regime from the model output. And also we found that this area met the criteria for periodic, which would not be mapped and certainly not be had been recognized in this area. So we look at the map. This is the map that was the 1994 latest version of soil moisture regimes for the U.S. And these are based on Newhall models, but they're models at weather stations and interpolated between to determine where the lines are for these particular moisture regimes. You can see the Ustic-Udic line. And then these blue are aquic moisture regimes, which the Newhall model does not predict aquic moisture regimes. It seems to be that there's a xeric bias towards the west coast and an ustic bias towards the plain states, and no real recognition of periodic on the hand-drawn map. When we did the Newhall model across the United States, we see areas here in Texas. You can see it has some xeric moisture regime that it estimated. It also has greater expansion of the xeric and has ustic scattered throughout these areas that wasn't predicted before. And also what we found is there's some undefined areas up in the Pacific Northwest. So these are areas that where the climate data did not match any of the criteria set by U.S. soil taxonomy. So we are currently looking at why it doesn't meet any of the criteria that's set within U.S. soil taxonomy. So if we look at Texas, where we're at, this is the 1994 soil moisture classes. The orange is ustic, green is eutic, and the dark blue is aquic. And this is what the Newhall simulation model shows for the soil moisture regimes. There's some eutic in this parts of Texas. It has some xeric, and it shows intermixing of the aridic and ustic as you go west. This is a 1994 boundary of the ustic eutic, and this is what the Newhall simulation model looks like. It brings xeric much further, which we were surprised by. It shows eutic in these areas, which most likely may be. Has also, here's these undefined areas that did not fit any criteria within U.S. soil taxonomy. And you can see the periodic is pretty prominent over here in West Virginia. A closer look at the Pacific Northwest. This is the 1994 map drawn by the experts. And this is our Newhall simulation model Again, here's the areas that are the undefined areas. Much more xeric. I'll go back and show the difference between the 1994 map and the Newhoff simulation map. So the limitations to this Newhoff model, it has no ability to predict soil moistures with any groundwater influence. So wet areas, there's no method to estimate the aquic moisture regime or where the soil is not well drained. So if you have lateral inflows or outflows, so it takes no consideration of topography. In some areas on steeper slopes, soils behave more aridic, especially if they're in the ustic moisture regime. So that's not accounted for unless the water balance inflow-outflow equals zero, and it doesn't show any of the topographic influence, as I said. If you have soils with restricted infiltration, it doesn't account for that. It assumes that the soil is like a sponge and that the water that falls on the surface infiltrates. And it has no estimate of snowpack and freezing as they may affect the water balance. And so in the 1994 maps, if you look at Minnesota, Wisconsin, it has a lot of aquic moisture regime mapped. The Newhoff does not, and so I think a lot of that is the snowpack influence that may influence the predictions. So the one thing I think the Newhoff is, I think we need more investigation of this, because either the Newhoff model is not a good estimate of soil moisture regime, or we have not been applying taxonomy correctly at the suborder level in some places. So we need to look further to see which is correct. But the one thing about the Newhoff and in any simulation models is consistent. So if we find that there is errors, we can go correct that and make that correction to get the appropriate classification. The model showed regions that have undefined moisture regimes, and so we're in the process of investigating why and what criteria is not met. And so we'll look for these taxonomic gaps and have that information to you soon. It's certainly a useful tool for soil temperature and moisture regimes, and we're looking at it a little further. And my graduate student is trying to incorporate topography within the Newhoff estimations to see if we can use something like a wetness index or some other terrain attribute to help us predict where we might possibly have aquic moisture regimes. With that, I'll take questions. Yes? Air temperature from PRISM. Yes, that's the Newhoff input that goes into the thorn weight. Yes. Tom?
Philip, the 1994 map was placed on weather stations.
Right.
Where they had actual data. Have you gone back to your map now and compared it back to just the weather stations to see how they line up?
That's our next step, Tom. We're doing some validation of our expanded Newhoff estimates. So the 1994 was based on weather station data and correlated to Newhoff, and the points between were interpolated and based on expert knowledge. And I'm not saying it's a bad map, but it may not be as refined as it... Right, right. So this is... to me, a really neat way to see if we're missing something in soil taxonomy, to see if there's some microclimates that would help us. If we have a map, we'll know if we're in some weird pocket of xeric, and we can assign the appropriate soil moisture and temperature regimes. Yes?
So what does it assume about the vegetation? Something that makes it ET?
It assumes it's vegetated. And it does have some assumptions for ET, but I'll have to look further into that. I'm not sure exactly what they're using, but it does assume vegetation. Yes, Patrick.
So when Bill Moffman and Doug Miller had Tokus versus Elpis, Pennsylvania back in the 90s, we had a gridded map derived from the Newhoff indexes for across the state. And the problem that we keep running into with this is it's reliant on the weather station.
Mm-hmm.
And you tend to find a lot of the time
The new hull is over predicting moisture. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's part of this research, really, is to determine, is the Newhall model the appropriate model to use to estimate soil moisture? And if it is, then we need to revisit taxonomy and adjust these soil moisture temperature regimes. As I said, it's a Pedon scale model, and it is it assumes no runoff and no run-on unless the soil is saturated, so that's when you would get runoff. So I think maybe it's not appropriate to apply to the scale we did, but we wanted to have a look at what are there areas that that maybe it wouldn't work, or maybe we need to just use it at the Pedon scale. But we can't measure, we can't get enough weather data, so we need to develop some method for simulation so that we can make estimates at, because we're at the suborder level where we're talking about classification. And if we're at the suborder level, we need to make sure that we're correct.
One more question.
Yes, Larry?
Well, actually, I have two, so I'm going to ask them.
All right.
Number one, you know, there are some measured soil moisture that is scattered across the country. You compare the model simulations to measure.
No, send that to me and we'll do it. All right, I'll do it. Yeah, that's the second part of this, Larry. We want to validate this as well.
So the second question is, there's some question about the applicability of temperature and moisture regimes for the universal system.
Right.
And we have not looked at these criteria that are currently in taxonomy were developed in the late 60s, early 70s.
Right. That's what we're looking at. I'm not sure, Larry. I'm certainly no expert on soil moisture, but maybe in a few years after keep doing this, I'll have a better opinion of that. But there's some discussion in some countries that the soil moisture and temperature regimes give you no information. And so if that's the case, then we need to see why and dig into it a little deeper try to understand what we're trying to do with the soil temperature and moisture regimes.
So I'm going to ask a quick question.
All right.
It's been bothering me since I saw Edwin present this. The Zurich, the large area of Zurich in the eastern Dakotas, and very little transition from the Utica. Does that bother you that we have that?
There's lots of things that bothered me in this, but I mean, that's why I throw it out to a group of big minds to help give me some feedback. I think one issue is the scale. I mean, the scale we're using 900, 800 meter resolution. This is a Pedon scale model. Is that even a valid way to approach this? But
okay, we're going to take one more, then we have to move on.
Quick comment to protect ourselves. We're international, international people.
Right. I'm sorry, Eric. I misspoke there. So the development was should soil temperature and moisture be at the suborder level? Not should it not be included? It should be included, but at the suborder level. So thank you for that clarification, and I'll.